bit steal stuff like a turkey from Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving stateside, weekend. You know, Thanksgiving's a holiday that like I like, but I don't love. You know, does that kind of make sense? It's like it's cool, I guess, to eat and all, but like,
yeah,
like you know, I like the dressing and the turkey, but like I can leave it too. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I'm a solid old Texas boy, man. Just give me some barbecue, man. I don't really, you know, need to eat turkey and all that. I don't know. That's just me.
Brisket's gotten more popular around Thanksgiving. Some people are ditching the turkey, or you know, and going with the brisket, and that sounds good.
But you know, it's still cool. You know, got together with the fam, and you know, and a little bit, you know. I think there was a little bit of fussing involved. You know, it's always some little family thing going on. You know, so my fusses and but it was cool, man. And a couple days later, I'm still feeling like, man, what they say about turkey is true. It does kind of put you into a coma if you eat too much, man. Like there's something in turkey that makes you tired. It's an ingredient, and it's only in cooked turkey.
Makes like you tired, sliced, man.
Like deli turkey, and it doesn't do that to you. Or you know, or turkey or ground turkey and stuff. It's something about whenever it's cooked as a whole bird, it does something to you, makes you really sleepy. And it's like.
I believe it, man. But, I believe
but yeah,
it.
You know, now it's officially kickoff for a Christmas season. We're doing this movie today, and then we're going to kind of unofficially. We don't really have a theme month for December, but the way the movies are in December, it's almost like epic December because we're doing. I don't think any movie in the four movies we're doing in December are less than 2.5 hours long. So, yeah. So,
they are epic movies.
Something to be said about December. But yeah, so man, as we kick off the rest of the year, our annual Batman movie coming up at a Christmas weekend, as we always do. And, then we'll start a new year as we get, head towards, episode 350 I figure we'll probably be at Compalooza again doing a show. So, but let's finish out 2022 strong. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Mark. And
this is Matt.
Welcome to the show. And I always say this at the end of the show, but I'm going to plug a little bit at the beginning of the show because sometimes I need to do that because not everyone always makes it to the end of the show. But you know, just in case you want to know, you can go to RebelRadioPodcast.com for all our episodes. We're on all apps, iTunes. Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all the famous ones you can find us on. And, you know, if you ever get a chance, especially on iTunes, it really helps. Just take 5 minutes to go leave us a little 5-star review and just say how awesome we are. And that helps us a lot with algorithms and getting into search engines and things like that. And I, like I said, I often say that at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And I say that to the show at the beginning here for people that don't always make it the full hour of the show, which is understandable. You know, sometimes you listen to a podcast. I'm bad about that. I'm listening to podcasts in the car. Why don't I be on the car for 30 minutes? And sometimes I don't make it back to the episode. You know, so it does happen.
Yeah, you listen to half of it, and then, you know, you get doing other stuff, and then you forget that you started listening, and then you remember, like, 2 weeks later. You're like, oh.
Pretty much. man, how have you been this week, Matt? Good?
Oh yeah, you know, I've been good. You know, it was always a good week whenever you're around family, you know, and just being around them, you know, you don't maybe not get to see each other, you know, for most of the year because.
But then there are some family members.
Crap, 10 hours here in America. Yeah. Oh yeah, we definitely have that one uncle that we're very thankful that we don't see. You know, those other 363 days out of the year, we just have to see him for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that's about it. You know, everyone's got the one. But you know, other than that, you know, it's been an okay
shit,
week.
I'm telling
rainy
you, man.
For a holiday week. You know? Oh, yeah. Every day. And then it, you know, these past couple of days,
well, yesterday
like
it rained all day.
So. Pretty much. Wasn't too bad.
Well, it did clear up in the afternoon a little bit because I was able to get my Christmas lights up, but it felt like it rained all day yesterday.
Yeah, it really did. Same for, well, not so much on Thanksgiving. It rained in the morning, and then it kind of cleared up in the afternoon yesterday. Yeah, like you said, kind of nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty for this week. You want that sunny, you know, cool sweater weather kind of thing for the a holiday, and we didn't get that
Texas,
for
man.
The most we're part.
Cold one day, shorts the next day. So, you know. Let's get into the show, man. Download this where we tell people what we watched, streamed, video games we might have played this week, which is funny being because I turned on the PlayStation this morning, and I don't have a current version of Madden. I have like Madden 19, which is technically the 2018 season. And so I was like, you know what? I just felt like playing a game of Madden this morning, and I got my ass kicked. I was like, I forgot how to do everything. It's like it's almost too complicated nowadays, man. Man. I'm like, man, this game's hard.
is that I have Madden 20. I forget if 19 was the year that they started making it to where you can't just throw the pass. You have to throw it then whenever you're the receiver, you have to choose what kind of catch.
Yeah, it has that option on there, but I don't think it's like a requirement to use it, but yeah, it's on there. It's like
I wonder if I can turn that off somehow because
you can't just throw downfield anymore. You'll get intercepted. I'm just like,
oh yeah, man. I remember Madden 10
you just chunk the
or Madden
ball.
11, and man, I always played with Brett Favre, and I would do like freaking Hail Marys all the damn time, and you'd make it. Now it's hard to make that Hail Mary.
That's really the only thing. I just played that this morning, just kind of a random thing. But I finished Andor. I finished all 12 episodes. And as much as I complained about the show early on being kind of slow, it's still maybe not my kind of Star Wars. But the last four or five episodes, it really pays off. I will give the writers a ton of credit. It sticks its landing. It's really, really well written last few episodes. It really starting to shape up where Cassian was at the starts to where we know he ends up in Rogue One. So it's definitely gets better. I will give it a lot of credit for getting way better than it started. And I'm actually the way it ended, I'm kind of excited for season two now because they really ended it on I'm trying to do this spoiler free because I know you haven't seen all, but they just end it on a satisfying note. If that makes sense, that you're like, okay, I'm ready for season two. And it's well done. There's also a nice little post credits scene at the end of the 12th episode that really will, I mean, honestly, kind of drop your jaw. It might be a better post credit scene than some of the Marvel stuff. It was just a really good, you're like, wow, that's cool shit. You know,
how many episodes long is it? 12? Okay,
man, so I tell you, when Cassian, and this behind. Minor spoiler, but nothing that's going to ruin the show for you. But when he gets in the prison, man, it's just you'll find yourself blowing through the last few episodes. It gets really good. So I would give a lot of credit. I still don't like all the political stuff with Mon Mothma in it. I find a lot of that stuff kind of just uninteresting. The political side of a rebellion just isn't interesting, and that's just being honest. But I understand why they have to have it in the show to show how everything comes together. But when Mon Mothma's on screen, it's like, that's when you go take a piss and you make it back for the Cassian scenes. Cause the Cassian scenes are what's worth it. I mean, the show's called Andor. That should be the most interesting or his story. And it really is. Other than that, I watched, my son, my oldest Michael is now completely caught up on the John Wick trilogy. And he's now excited for number four.
There we go.
He thinks it's going to be his first radar movie in theaters, and it's a good possibility. He did agree that the third one is a little over the top. He goes, man, Dad, it's kind of all over the place. I go, yeah, the third one loses a little bit of focus. It becomes more of a long action film. It's still good, but it's not as focused as the first two. You can tell. But he enjoyed them, and we watched that. Then. It's funny when you texted earlier, I actually had it on at the same time I was watching the Guardians Holiday Special. And
nice.
I don't like, it's funny. It felt like two halves to me. I didn't like the first 20 minutes, but then I liked the last 20 minutes. The first 20 minutes were just really kind of dumb and cheesy. And then it got better. And it's funny because it's kind of like the Star Wars Holiday Special on purpose, only better. It's worth watching. It's only 45 minutes. It's not going to kill your time or anything. It's worth checking out. Yeah, it's got
Kevin, it's got Kevin Bacon in it, man.
Some other cool little cameos in there and stuff. If you're looking in for stuff, but it was neat. It was you know, they shot this towards the end of shooting Guardians 3. It was kind of an extra couple days of shooting, and but it's neat to see the crew together and see where they're going to lead going into the new movie that comes out in May. But a neat little watch, I thought. Now that they had Werewolf by Night and this, I kind of hope Marvel does some more of these little 1 hour specials. They're kind of neat little fill in stories. I'm down for more of them. And so it's on Disney Plus. I think it came out yesterday on Disney Plus, the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. So it was fun to watch. And I feel like I watched something else this week, but those are the only two that I really remember. Or that's the main stuff, you know, that I watched. But yeah, man, I know you watched the Guardian special too.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Like you said, it's dumb at first, and then it turns into, a decent Christmas story, you know, by the end, and, where you learn, you know, the, Kevin Bacon, you know, has to save the day once again, essentially, as Peter Quill would want, because that's his hero, Kevin, and him and David Hasselhoff, which I think is just hilarious. I feel like there should be more references to both those guys in the third one. Hopefully there is, but watch that. Check it out. Yeah. It's not a long watch.
Did you ever watch? Did you ever watch the Werewolf by Night?
Of course, it was Thanksgiving. I haven't, and you mentioned it. You reminded me of it. I saw it when I was going to go put something on for the kids one day, and I was like, yeah, I need to get back to watch. That, and it's, I never did. Fun. Yeah. No, I've heard good stuff about it. It's in black and white,
right? But it works. It definitely works.
It works. I trust you. That'll probably be my next thing. Maybe I can bring that to the table next week. But with it being Thanksgiving, of course, I watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Jackie had not seen the movie before, and I was like, you know, I was like, you've got to watch this movie with the great John Candy and, you know, legendary Steve Martin, and just, you know, appreciate, you know, what John Candy brought to the screen. And, you know, I was like, if you don't tear up at the end, you know, then I can't with you. And, you know, she was just like, wow, you know, that last scene just really the cherry on top of the whole movie. And we covered it, I think a year or so ago. It's still just a great movie. Kevin, another movie that's right. Kevin Bacon in it at the beginning as he fights. And it was funny. I forgot, and I kind of looked away. And my wife's like, "Is that Kevin Bacon?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, he is in here." Yeah, it's like he's not featured, obviously, but he's there in the film. A couple other you know, guys that you recognize. You got the actor who played John Connor, or not John Connor, Doc Connors, in the Spider-Man films with Sam Raimi. He's in the film as this redneck dude, and then you got one of the guys that's in Billy Madison, a guy that's trying to help Adam Sandler is in the film, and you're like, hey, I know those guys. So cool little movie. It's not streaming anywhere. You have to for free, at least you gotta rent it, but I had the movie, so I went ahead and watched it through that platform. Trying to make sure I didn't watch anything
else.
Episode
227. December 227. So we're almost 2 years since we covered it.
2 years ago. Obviously, for obvious reasons, I put on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 1995, the movie, starring you know, Jason David Frank, David Yost, Amy Jo Johnson. And what would have been a Mariska Hargitay, but they ended up going with an Australian actress. And that's, you know, obviously because of the news we got over the weekend that he had passed. And, you know, just had to watch it, had to watch some Tommy Oliver stuff and show the kids. You know, I had bought the first season or two of Power Rangers, and had Jake watch it, but the other kids hadn't seen it, and they enjoyed it. It's dated. The CGI is dated, obviously, but it was just cool to remember.
Power Rangers, you know, the CGI is much better.
Yeah, I know, right? If I had to choose, I'm watching 1995's Power Ranger and not this one. I feel like they tried to go too epic.
And we will talk some more to Jason David Frank in the news later. I didn't skip over him or anything. So,
yeah, no, we'll save it. But that's just my little plug. Other than that, I don't think I watched anything else. I was going to try and watch Terrifier 2, but I wasn't able to. And I've already seen some scenes from it. I think it makes my stomach turn a little bit just watching some of the leaked scenes. So I'm interested as to how I'm going to feel about it when I watch it. yeah, it's he is freaky looking.
No, I
want to see Violent Night this week. I'm hoping I can watch it this week,
but you know, that's one of those movies next you go week to my theater, about it. You know, it's going to end up streaming somewhere very quickly. You know, it's like it's not going to make any money. Not with Black Panther still killing at the box office, and Avatar comes out in a couple of weeks. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, it's like
they should have released this next Christmas.
That's the thing now. Like you're a little more cautious now with knowing a lot of these films come to streaming within 30 to 45 days. It's kind of like I really want to see Strange Worlds. It looks really great from Disney, but. You know, it's going to be in Disney Plus sometime in January. It's almost like I'm just going to wait, you know? It's just like,
yep.
I'm not going to go spend, you know, $30 on tickets and $30 on snacks and to see something that will be on Disney Plus in a month and a half. Avatar will probably be the last movie I'll see in theaters for 2022, I'm sure, you know? And,
yeah. Same for me, man.
Nothing else to see. I definitely want to see the Knives Out sequel, but I'll wait till the 23rd of December and watch it on Netflix. You know?
Yeah, whenever it goes streaming.
And, it's kind of strange. I wonder why the Knives Out sequel, it only has 1 week in theaters, and then but it's not hitting Netflix till December 23rd. I guess maybe it was part of their distribution deal. Interesting, though, that they did it like that. So. Because Netflix paid a lot of money for those Knives Out sequels, you know? So I think they're going to do another one, but that's cool. The Guardian special. If you haven't watched it, me and Matt both give it our approval to check it out on Disney Plus. It'd be cool. And there was a big, you know, it's funny though, there is a big reveal in the Guardian special. And we'll go a little bit of spoiler territory here, but interesting that Mantis is Star Wars' sister. So, and I thought that, and that was kind of a Star Wars this moment there too. You know, it's like,
yeah, and people have a, yeah, and you have a, man, what else was I going
to
say? That's
well, the animated sequence at the beginning. There's something for else sure that pays homage to the Boba Fett animated sequence in the holiday special. So.
Yeah, that could be
the songs because the Star Wars Holiday Special had a lot of terrible songs. And it's funny that's Kevin Bacon's real band that's in the movie under makeup. Yeah, that's in the special. Yeah, that's
really?
Kevin Bacon's actual little music band, the old 97s. Yep, so kind of cool.
That's awesome, man.
All right, well, let's get into today's featured film. A movie that I enjoy quite a bit, and I actually rewatched this last. We recorded Friday last week, right? Yeah, I think it was Saturday night. I actually watched this with the kids because the kids had never seen it, and I wanted them to watch it before the TV show hits. And I know it was a first time watch for you, Matt. And we're talking a 1988's Willow, directed by Ron Howard, written by the great George Lucas, and produced by him. And Matt, I know it was your first time watching it, man. So I'm gonna let you summarize this film.
Yeah, it's a sword and sorcery epic. produced by George Lucas and directed by Ron Howard, fresh off of Splash and Cocoon. And so George Lucas helped, you know, finance about half of this because MGM was,
they thought this was a little bit risky. They thought Sword and Sorcery was starting to die off after Conan not quite successful and Dragon Slayer and a few other movies. Yeah.
Yeah. So this movie, you know, after this, it seemed like all the Sword and Sorceries kind of went to TV. But we're talking Willow, baby, with Warwick Davis, who of course was, was an Ewok, in the, Return of the Jedi and the Ewok movies, with George Lucas. He comes back for one of the first, I believe the first time, in a lead role, not in costume, not hidden behind a mask or anything. And, he stars alongside, Val Kilmer, Mad. And their job, Willow's job, after he inherits this baby, his kids find this baby who's escaped the clutches through a midwife who snuck her out of Queen Bavmorda's place of fortitude, where she's enslaved all these pregnant women because a baby is going to be born with a birthmark indicating a special child that will take her down, unseat her, defeat her. Child of Prophecy kind of stuff, cool stuff, classic 80s. And then, you know, Warwick Davis's family comes upon this baby, and he's an aspiring wizard. And he is, you know, after he defends from these rat hog things that are sent to kind of take the life of this baby from the queen, he sets out on this journey to go into the human world, essentially. They call it something else. I can't remember it right now. But he goes out to the human world, encounters you know, Val Kilmer's character, Mad. I'm just going to call him Mad for short. And Mad Mortigan. And, you know, he frees him, and they start this this little quest to protect this daughter, to protect this girl, and get her into the human, across the human line, human realm line. And the baby gets kidnapped along the way, and they have to defend her and save her from the queen. It's got some cool scenes in there. Queen turns them into pigs. She's obviously a powerful sorceress, which is why, you know, she hasn't been engaged by an army. Man, it's really cool. At the end, they outsmart her with a surprise attack. The special effects in this movie are just, you know, you can tell that there's you know, some opportunity with the electronics, but you know what, I like it. It's another thing that's similar to Star Wars is this movie. You've got you know, the scene at the, I feel like the scene at the end is obviously the big thing. They have the formal gathering where everyone's in nice clothes and you know, showered and clean, and you know, almost like the ceremony scene in the first Star Wars movie. Siskel and Ebert even, you know, had some, you know, point out some similarities. But maybe that's why I like it. You know, I like the film. It's fun. You got a little bit of romance in there with Val. Val's character and sorceress, I forget her name. I have to watch this like, too. But you know, they ended up having a romance of their own and got married, Sorcia, but then divorced in 95, like maybe Sorcia. Yeah. Sorcia. And I was like, well, what were they all doing whenever you tried to come up with her name? You're like, well, let's name her. She's like a sorcerer. But we're going to try and like just switch the name. But she doesn't do any sorcery really in the film. She just fights a lot. You know, so, but she is the queen's daughter. Right. She's like the queen's daughter. Yeah. That's what I picked up. Yeah. Cause she's like, oh, you're a disappointment. And I was like, yeah, it sounds like something a mother or a father would say.
Well, you know, George and all his creations always have daddy issues, you know?
Yeah, and his creations are another thing I liked in this film. There's a scene in the film apparently that didn't make it, and it was like 2 weeks of Warwick Davis going in and out of the water. They were supposed to fight this like giant fish creature when he crosses the lake, And there was a scene where the enslaved witch or the good sorceress that was enslaved into a pigeon form, and then he turned her into a goat. She was supposed to warn him not to go through this lake, but he does, and he has to fight this giant fish. So the fish kept getting messed up, and they couldn't air it because it just wasn't right. And he had to keep getting like friggin' dunked in water for like 2 weeks straight, and then it didn't even make it. But yeah, this film, you know, that almost didn't happen, has, you know, as a cult favorite amongst a lot of people for good reason. It's, like you said, you got the fairies, you've got the little people, I don't know what they're exactly called. I always want to call them hobbits.
Well, they call them a slang term. The movie is supposed to be like pecs, but yeah.
Yeah, pecs, the pecs. And I don't know if they're actually called pecs. I like the big burly one that gets thrown up on. He's kind of funny. You've got that comic relief there. This film kind of, you know, has everything you'd want in a campy, kid friendly,
I wouldn't even call it campy,
family friendly, adventure film. Yeah, more family friendly. Campy is probably an overused term, by just an upbeat, and enjoyable family type, movie. But, I liked it. I watched it, I think I watched it twice because the first time I watched it halfway and I got busy, and then I came back at the end and I was like, well, what happened here? And I missed the part where, Val runs into the castle, gets the armor, he's getting I was like, okay, cool. He's getting, armed up. He gets the crossbow, slings the crossbow around, finds a sword. It's full of dust. And, then he looks up and he gets, finds the badass armor. And, I wish he had a cooler helmet. It's like he had that big old, Trojan type of, the helmet ornament that he has up top and that almost looks like hair. I was like, I would have gone with
the gladiator
style of helmet. I would have gone with spikes.
And man.
Yeah. He looks like a demon.
That's the same actor who played the German mechanic in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yep. Came back to work
neat.
For Lucasfilm in this movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, same actor. That's cool, man. I'm glad you liked it because, like, man, I grew up watching this movie and always have enjoyed it quite a bit. And it's definitely a solid family film. In some ways it can be a paint by numbers family film, but it does a lot of things that make it work. The special effects, like you said, are for 1988. They tried some new things and some the morphine technology and animatronics/I don't know if it's so much CGI, but just the way they use matte paintings. The trolls were definitely kind of creepy. Some good sword fights and just a good storytelling movie. For years Lucas wanted to do more with it. They did sequels in the form of books, but the books weren't real well received because they're kind of darker in tone. And Lucas sort of gave his notes to Chris Claremont and told Claremont, he's famous for writing the X-Men, to go write sequels. And George was busy prepping the Star Wars prequel, so he didn't really have time to be hands-on with the books. So he now kind of disowns the books because of that reason, because he didn't have anything to really do with them. As far as the movie, it wasn't highly successful at the box office. It did okay, but the movie made its money back through television and home video. And it did turn a profit in the end. And part of that, it just faced some stiff competition at the time. I think the third Rambo movie was out and a couple other films. Promotion-wise, it seemed like Lucas was busy working on Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. He didn't do a whole lot of promotion for this film. He left it up to Ron Howard and the other people. And they budget for promoting the film was not as maybe high as they would like to have been. Because like we said, MGM... didn't believe in the film. And so that's why Lucasfilm put up a lot of money. But it worked out in the end. It became a cult classic and a cult favorite and a character that Warwick Davis's day always loves to talk about. And he's going to get to revisit it here next week when the sequel television series hits.
We did get a video game from this movie. And actually it was hard, but, the graphics were pretty good on it. It was made by Capcom. Capcom made it, and it's a scroller. I watched some of the gameplay, on YouTube. Obviously I never played it, didn't have the game. But it flows, you know, kind of like a mix of, like Contra and Zelda, if I could find a mix between those two, because if you die, nice. You have to start all the way at the beginning.
It was on like Nintendo and Genesis, probably.
It's got that going on for it.
Yeah.
Yep, Nintendo and Genesis.
And now the movie, there were Willow comic books. Marvel did do an adaptation of it. And now years later, we're getting action figures from Reaction. Now that the new show is coming out, Willow's starting to find kind of a second home. Did you enjoy the movie enough that it makes you want to watch the Disney Plus show?
Yeah. I'm going to watch
it. And that's a good thing. Because it's hard to find, you know, this is one of those movies that you just sit back. Willow reminds me of a time that why we go to the movies. You go to the movies to be entertained and just watch a good story on screen and not overly thank the film, just sit back and enjoy it for what it is. And that's kind of how I view Willow. It's just a time when I found movies more innocent and more easier to watch and don't overanalyze them. Cause now, man, we overanalyze everything that comes out. You know, it's like, the expectations for some of these films now are so high and everything. And Willow just takes me back to that time where I just watch a movie and enjoy it.
Exactly. You know, you can have fun without being without over scrutinizing the film and it's entertaining. You can put it on and don't have to worry about blood or anything like that. And it's a nice film.
I thought it was funny that the twin babies they used, for Laura Dunn and, had no hair. So, but they wanted to have hair, which I thought was weird. I never realized that as an adult, like, why does this baby have so much hair? And they use like a wig with syrup to stick into the baby's head because they couldn't use a wig adhesive because that would hurt the baby's head. And then I just started realizing how weird that is. Like, why did the babies need hair? What was wrong with them being bald? You know, it's just like.
Yeah, I mean, you could just, you know, have them be how they are and, you know.
Yeah, they even made an animatronic baby for some scenes and they said it was heavier than the actual baby. And then they used like a plush baby for like action scenes. So if Willow fell, they didn't use a real baby. I thought that was pretty funny.
Wow.
Warwick Davis was very young when he made this movie. He's only 17 years old. And he didn't have time to grow long hair, so it is a wig he wore in this movie for his long hair, too. Also, at the time, this is the movie with the most little people ever cast for a film, as far as like 242 cast in the film
than Wizard of Oz? The record.
And I don't know if the record's been broken since. I tried to look it up. I was also thinking, like, wait, what movie since Willow might have broken it? I guess there's something out there we're not thinking of, you know?
Maybe that's something we look up, you know, and bring the next episode.
Yeah. Peter Jackson, you know, we're doing in a few weeks, we'll be doing the Two Towers for its 20th anniversary. And, you know, he took some flack for not casting little people as hobbits, but he also explained, well, hobbits aren't actually little people. They're just smaller like humans, you know? But I remember that being a controversy back in the late 90s when he was filming those movies and they announced the cast of the Hobbits and people were like, well, wait, what? And, you know,
sounds like a 2020s kind of conversation that we would see sparked, why didn't you pick little, you know, actual hobbits from the 1700s to play
George Lucas has always been known for casting little people in his films, from using Kenny Baker for R2-D2 to the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi. And a lot of props to him for giving those guys roles in films. And it leads to guys like, I can't think of his name. The guy who was in Game of Thrones and Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
Being in X-Men Days of Future Past. And he's a very, very good actor.
Vernon Droy. I forget. I'll always. Vernon Droy. And then of course Warwick Davis, he was Leprechaun.
Oh, that's right. He was
Leprechaun. I liked him in the Leprechaun films, even though they're like horrible. And I haven't seen them all because I'm just like, you can only see so much of the craziness. I've seen up to Leprechaun 4 in space, I think. I haven't seen In the Hood.
I forgot he was in that. Yeah. Of course, Warwick Davis appeared in Solo, also in the Star Wars story. You know, he's in that. He's always appeared in the he's in the prequels too. And I'm sure he's probably in one of the sequel films. Probably had a background character. So he's always been a part of Lucasfilm. And I'm looking forward to the Willow TV series. I like the fact that it takes place, 20 years later, 30 years later. A lot of rumor that we'll get an older version of Laura Donna in the show, and the girl who played Infus Nest from Solo. Yeah. Speaking of it, she's in the Willow show, and there's rumor that Mad Morgan, even though Val Kilmer we know is all is suffering from throat cancer, so he's not able to act like he used to. But apparently, his presence will be in the show, in some form. There's talk that one of the characters might be possibly kin to him. So it looks like that Lucasfilm is going to do a good job. The trailer's really good, and I'm looking forward to watching Willow. I believe it hits on the 30th, so Wednesday.
Yeah,
it'll be on Disney Plus, which makes sense. Since Andor just
plenty ended, of time to watch
for another show, so it'll be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to watching Willow, but I'm glad you enjoyed this, man. Being the first time watch, I kind of figured you would. This is a hard movie not to enjoy. Like I said just a few minutes ago, it's one of those movies why you just sit back and enjoy films. It's just one of those movies that I almost feel like Willow is one of those movies that someone watched it and they didn't find something they liked about it or weren't entertained by it. Well, do you really like movies? I mean.
Yeah, it's fun stuff, man. That's the best way to put it. It's one of those adventure movies that, just keeps you engaged through the whole movie. I felt like there wasn't really a slow part for me where I, wanted to look away or got disinterested. It's a solid film. I'm surprised it didn't do as well in theaters. Maybe that was, like you said, attributed to what it was going up against and the lack of marketing. Because that'll do it. And, that'll take the.
It had a nice Bruce Struzan poster, and it has a good cast and a really good musical score. That in fact, the musical score was pretty popular from this film. That a lot of movie trailers in the 90s used this score. They paid for it to use it because it just was epic and sweeping. But it's good to see the film, though, 30 years later, getting some recognition with the new show coming out and people finding this movie again on Disney Plus and everything. So it's good. I'm glad people are rediscovering Willow because it's a really good movie and one that should be watched. And you get Val Kilmer dressed like as a girl in it. That's pretty funny, too.
That was pretty hilarious.
It's a pretty funny
scene. He's not a woman.
I'm sure woke culture would probably have something to say about that scene nowadays, but it's played for laughs. And it's hilarious. it's good stuff. But man, I think Willow for me is a pretty solid A, man. It's just a fun, entertaining movie that still holds up well years later and good stuff.
Yes, sir.
So you're agreeing with an A. You give it an A too.
Hey, man. Just like the Canadians say, hey. It's good, hey.
Hell, man. I write down my news notes. I can't read them, but I know how the news is going to start. But yeah, the news, man. Sunday morning, we just lost Kevin Conroy, man. And we wake up Sunday morning and we find out that Jason David Frank, best known for playing the Green Power Ranger, decided to take his own life. And, I'm a little older than you. So for me, Power Rangers is not really, never really got into it. I know what it is and I appreciate it. But it just wasn't my thing, but I'm not naive to know what Jason David Frank meant to a lot of people. He's a fellow Texan. Actually, he still lived here in Houston. For him, he was, a constant conventions over the last 20 years, always meeting his fans. He also was not just a face behind a Power Ranger. Here's a guy that went out and trained his body to learn martial arts and to fight and to not, and to do, to make it as real on screen for the kids who are watching as he possibly could, because he wanted these kids to have someone to look up to. And from all the stories I've read, he would never not take the time to speak with children and people at conventions, and because they were there to see him, and he felt that that was important, that he gave everyone a moment. You know, but unfortunately, yeah, he had some demons he couldn't exercise, and we lost him this week. And Matt, I know you, Power Ranger, a little closer to you, man, your age, you were kind of really into it.
Yeah, this was a, you know, a bad couple weeks for anyone who grew up and watched, you know, animated stuff or just stuff geared towards kids in the 90s, you know, losing Conroe and then losing Tommy, you know, Tommy Oliver, Jason David Frank. You know, they originally signed him on to do 10 episodes. Him and Trini, the actor who played Trini, who's also passed away. They got hired on around the same time, and Jason kind of helped get her on. And yeah, after 10 episodes, the fans spoke out and they made him part of the Power Ranger team. But of course, the Green Ranger powers were only temporary, as they were granted by, you know, Empress Rita. And he became the White Ranger. After Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, he you know, went on to be the Red Zeo Ranger, the Red Time Ranger, and then ended his stint in Power Rangers as the Black Beetle Ranger. And, you know, just did a bunch of collaborations with Bat in the Sun Productions, where he physically fought Ryu. He did his own stunts and everything. Did a couple videos where he fought Ryu. He fought Scorpion, you know, where they do that this person versus that person. And man, it was cool every time to see him reprise his role, even for little tidbits like that. And then, you know, of course, what was the other movie? He fought himself. He did this little production where he fought a version of himself, kind of like akin to the graphic novel Shattered Grid, which is a 3-part graphic novel series where there's a multiverse of Power Rangers, and there's a universe where Tommy Oliver doesn't become a good guy, and he stays under Rita and becomes Lord Drakkon and goes into other universes and starts fighting Power Rangers, collecting their coins so that they can't turn into the Power Rangers again fully, and fights an army of Rangers without coins called the Coinless. So I actually bought that first part of that book. It's pretty interesting. I like the illustrations in it. Just another avenue to, to legendize the great, Tommy Oliver, Jason David Frank. And it's one of those things where, you know, he was at cons all the time, and he may be at like two or three different Houston area, Texas area cons in a year. And every year, I would just say, hey, you know, next year I'll get that photo op, because, you know, he's here all the damn time, you know, because he loved his fans. And I shared some little clips of him that I hadn't seen before with you, Mark. I don't know if you were able to watch him, where Stan Lee came in and was just like, he was just like, you know, kind of bombed his, barged in on his press conference and was like, I'm just making sure these people are taking care of you, because this man's my favorite Power Ranger. And he'd got up there and he'd shake. He did this like maybe three times, that's been three or four times with Tommy, yeah, with Jason David Frank. So, you know, he loved him. And, you know, you've got great status if the great Stan Lee is singing your praises and going up there and making an effort to shake hands with you and letting you know how he feels about you. That's just how Jason David Frank was with fans. And he said, you know, he went outside a con one time and was kind of telling, you know, some of his fans, if you ever meet someone that is annoyed with having you run up there and say, hey, you know, can I get this? Can I get that? Can I get a picture with you? Don't, you know, they shouldn't push you away because, you know, it's grateful. I'm grateful for you guys and I love you guys and really appreciate it. Appreciative of my fans. And he always wanted to take pictures with them. Everyone, every person I know that has gotten a photo op with him. So he's just the nicest guy. Yep. Can't believe what happened. You know, so he's going to be missed, as seen on many platforms. And a lot of people dress it up as the Green Ranger, you know, with the flute music that he used to play doing tributes. So it's been a week full of that.
He left behind quite a legacy. So, all right. Well, Jason David Frank. So we got some information this week, some pictures, from Indiana Jones 5, a rumored title of the Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And, you know, people are already hating on that. If that's the title, it's the title. I'm fine with it. You know, it seems mystery.
Yeah.
Mystery. And it's not a of the title, you know, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. I kind of like the fact that it's kind of a straightforward title, if that is the title. We also got word in a James Mangold gave an interview that they're going to use de-aging technology in the opening sequence of the film. And even Harrison himself said that he's absolutely blown away by it, that they're using a new tech that's been created by ILM to do this. It's never been seen done before in film. I mean, you know, we've had some de-aging with Samuel L. Jackson and Captain Marvel and Robert Downey Jr. in one of the films too. And, you know, of course, Tron Legacy is one of the most famous first shots at it back when several years ago when they tried to de-age Jeff Bridges. But the technology is getting better. The fact that Harrison Ford has even said it was creepy to see himself that young again. But he said creepy in a good way because it's so convincing. And I believe it can be done. I mean, look how convincing Moff Tarkin was in Rogue One. I mean, the technology is there to do this kind of stuff now. And So that'll be really cool, man. I'm starting to get a really good feeling about this, that James Mangold is going to pull off a hell of a Indiana Jones film. I like everything I've seen from it so far, the shots and the things. We know the trailer's coming, likely in a couple weeks in front of Avatar, which would make the most sense since that's the next major Disney release. And, you know, they would want to put out their big summer tentpole trailer in front of their big Christmas tentpole movie, you know. So we'll see, man. I'm super excited for this film. I love the Indiana Jones saga. Now, if they would just put the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles streaming somewhere, I'd be happy. You know, it's like, come on, man. That's so sitting in the ball. Put it out there for streaming with our good local guy, Sean Patrick Flannery, playing Young Indiana Jones. Have you heard that they're trying to reboot Escape from New York? This just feels like another one of those bad ideas. You know, it's, you know, they tried to get another sequel made for years and Kurt Russell wasn't really interested. Neither was John Carpenter. Carpenter had some interest, but a lot of it was their schedules, getting it together and doing another one. And Kurt Russell has seemed to have moved on. And so is John Carpenter. And now another company or the studio, whoever owns it, whatever, is going to reboot it. And I read this and I'm just like, please don't. You know, it's just like, Escape from New York's not the way to go. I don't think it's so iconic that it couldn't be improved upon. The problem is with current Hollywood remakes is they won't improve upon it. It'll just be a standard lame try to money grab remake, you know, like another Point Break or some crap like that. I just don't see them. Yeah, I don't see them doing this with any kind of a
remake.
True meaning to make it better. You know, just that's just kind of how I feel about it. It's just like, leave it alone. You know.
Yeah. If they do it, they need to cast Russell's son as as Snake Plissken. That's the only way you can hope to, you know, have some kind of success.
He looks so much like him.
He does, man. He really does. And with the, you know, around the eyes, maybe not as much, but that 5 o'clock shadow that he has going on and the long hair, you put an eye patch on him, man, he just looked like a blonder.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like,
you know,
I do like the character of Snake. And I'm with you. I'm fine if they do more sequels and just recast Kurt, you know, just I'd rather them do a sequel with a new Snake Plissken instead of trying to retell the same story that's already been done, you know. And to be fair, a better sequel than Escape from L.A. That was not a very good movie.
You don't like the surfing? You don't like the...
That was terrible.
No?
Marvel's Blade reboot finally has a new director. Jan Demange, I guess that's how you say his name. I'm not sure what he's known for. I'm pulling up the article now. He made a movie called White Boy Rick, apparently. And he directed episodes of Lovecraft Country. Oh, yeah. On HBO. So he's going to be the director of Blade, as you know, Marvel's been trying to get the Blade reboot off the ground. So there's that. And that's about all the news I've got, really. It's a holiday week, so just be expected not have a whole lot of news.
I have one. Maybe it's not as big, but, you know, I was speaking about the 90s, you're watching TV in the 90s. You may have come across Married with Children. And Christina Applegate just got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And I did not realize she has a hard time walking
years now.
Because she has MS. Yeah. And it's, man, it was, you know, I was a little sad seeing that. I mean,
Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead.
She was the firecracker on TV. She was
smoking hot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then one of your lesser favorite films, Donnie Darko. Whenever he's laying down in bed with the therapist, he has this like mental episode where he's like, I just want to masturbate to Christina Applegate. And I'm like,
and then
it was pretty funny.
Yeah. I remember that. But
yeah. I didn't realize she didn't have a star on the Walk of Fame, but you know, she's given us some good films. Most notably as of late, the Anchorman films, and she's shown up in some random comedies. Hall Pass.
I like Hall Pass,
but she's, so, you know, she's still beautiful. You know,
here's the thing, Long
and you know,
our other co-host,
Hall Pass Long, was funny.
He always says I don't like comedy, but actually Hall Pass is funny. And I found a copy of Half Price Books for like $2. So I actually own that movie because I was like, you know what, for $2, I can watch this and laugh. You know,
that's hilarious. It's funny, man.
I forgot she was in that. I'm gonna have to rewatch it now. And I do have a last bit of news note too. We got Henry Cavill, of course, appearing in the cameo at the end of Black Adam, but not so fast. Apparently the deal is not done with Warner Brothers as far as bringing him back, that they, and The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, he called Warner Brothers out this week. He goes, you know what? We went through all this to bring him back. But he basically told Warner Brothers, get it done. Let's get this next Superman movie made. It's time to get Henry signed because Henry's ready to do it. Henry actually posted a picture of himself working out, getting in shape for it. Interesting that they would go through all this trouble, the cameo, and like, wait a minute, the deal's not done yet.
Yeah, and apparently there's a petition that's over 250,000 of signatures already to bring back Henry Cavill in The Witcher and get rid of the writers.
No,
I don't think that'll happen. Which it's like, apparently, he didn't sign on for season 3, not because that him being busy with DC stuff, but the fact that he just, you know, he's a big fan of the video game and the comics. And he said that it wasn't being written the way that it was supposed to be. And, apparently they're not listening to him. So he's just done with it. Man, he's a wanted man, you know, better make it happen. Cause someone else is going to make it happen. Yeah. You know what I didn't realize? He auditioned for the role of Batman in the Christopher Nolan movies. Wouldn't that have been interesting if instead of Superman, he was Batman?
Considering back in 2004 when they were probably auditioning for that, I mean, no one even knew who he was back then.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he could do it. I think he could absolutely do it. He had Christian Bale tested better on screen. Obviously, we know how that went. But I thought that was a cool little fact. I was, I like listening to, retrospectives, and, I had a an auto play going on, and Oliver's retrospective of Batman Begins came on, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to watch this. Henry Cavill auditioned. Wow. I didn't know. Cool stuff.
All right. Well, let's preview next week's film. I kind of mentioned earlier that December is going to kind of be these epic movies, even though we don't have an official title of the month. And we're going to kick it off with one that's a longtime favorite of a lot of people. It's almost amazing after 300 episodes that we haven't done this movie, because it's just one that people really like a lot. People were shocked it didn't win Best Picture. Just definitely a crowd favorite, so to speak. And that is I don't want to say the director's name wrong. The guy who did Frank Darabont.
Spielberg?
Directed this film starring Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman. Oh. And that is The Shawshank Redemption.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard all the evidence. I submit that this was not a hot-blooded crime of passion. Consider this. A revolver holds 6 bullets, not 8. That means that he fired the gun empty and then stopped to reload.
By the power vested in me by the state of Maine, I hereby order you to serve 2 life sentences back to back, 1 for each of your victims. So be it.
Send you here for life? That's exactly what they take.
I believe in 2 things. Discipline.
Help me, Dad!
And the Bible. Here you receive both.
Andy came to Shawshank Prison in 1947.
Why'd you do it?
I didn't, since you ask.
You can fit right in.
I must admit, I didn't think much of Andy first time I laid eyes on him. He had a quiet way about him. Walk and a talk that just wasn't normal around here.
There are places in the world that aren't made out of stone. There's something inside they can't touch.
What are you talking about?
Hope.
Let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing.
Damn it, new friend, you're putting me behind!
Hope can drive a man insane.
You better be sick or dead in there, I kid you not!
Better get used to that idea.
Oh, my holy God.
I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living, or get busy dying.
Get busy living, or get busy dying. That's damn right.
Now, Matt, you've seen this one, I'm sure. I mean,
I've never finished it.
Even my mother has seen this movie.
Dude. Nope.
It's like, come on.
And I saw it young, too. So I only remember the part where the Kurrigan is going to throw Robbins off the building. And he's like, I'll help you with your taxes.
Man, such a great film. You're going to enjoy it. It's on HBO Max. I checked that out. I have a copy of it around here somewhere, so I'm going to watch my copy. And since I haven't been able to fix your HBO Max issues yet, but that's okay.
We'll get that.
Yeah. But yeah, man, The Shawshank Redemption, such an all-time classic and a good movie and a good way to kick off December as we head towards the end of the year on next week's show. Looking forward to it. It's been a while since I've watched it, so I'm looking forward to rewatching this movie. But that's it, man. You're in for a treat too. You're really going to like this movie. It's very, very good. When people always put The Shawshank and Redemption, their top 10 movies they've ever seen. And you'll see why. I can agree with that. I don't know if it would make my top 10 just because my tastes are a little different, but I wouldn't argue if someone had The Shawshank Redemption, their top 10 movies they've ever seen either, because it's certainly worthy of it. So that's on next week's show. But like I said earlier, this is the Rebel Radio Podcast, rebelradiopodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs. And we thank you, as always, for listening. And continue to be safe out there. Be vigilant. Holiday season, man. People already acting crazy. I got fussed at by a lady the other day. I ran into Target to pick up a pickup order because it was silly. It was like $6 to ship it. I'm like, I'll just drive over to Target and do the in-store pickup. And she's standing in the fucking entrance.
Yeah.
And I go around her. That's it. I didn't need to say excuse me. I just simply went around her. So she comes walking past me and goes, oh, I can see people are being rude already. And I kind of look at her and she goes, yeah, I'm talking to you. You just walk right in front of me. Don't even say excuse me. And I'm like, no, I went around you. I didn't walk in front of you. You were blocking the entrance. She goes, I wasn't blocking nothing. You need to learn to say excuse me and mind your manners. I said, no, you need to mind your business because I did not do anything wrong. And she walked away grunt.
You should have told her. You should have told her what your excuse.
She just walked away mumbling. And my first thought was I was waiting for the young lady to help me with my pickup order. And I was just like, well, I hope the rest of your fucking day is miserable because you're letting yourself get miserable over fucking nothing. You know?
Yeah. Some people just love shitting their pants and sitting in it all day, baby.
That's how the holiday season has
how it is.
But until next week, this has been Mark. Remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.